This is another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, your host for this weekly conversation. And today is kind of a Texas flavor of conversation. I am connecting with Ray Lopez, the online campus pastor at City Church San Antonio. And it just so happened this past weekend, I got to meet Nils Smith, who was on a previous episode of Social Media Church, and he happened to be in town here in Orange County, California, and he's also from San Antonio, so a compadre of Ray Lopez. Just met up with him in person this past weekend, and on this episode, you'll hear my conversation with another San Antonio online pastor, Ray Lopez. City Church is a fast-growing church there in that city, and while they were managing growth and facilitating ministry to people on the ground at multiple locations, they also launched this online campus. So you'll hear my conversation with Pastor Ray about how they're managing all of that, how they're taking care of some key issues in discussion with that, how they are using Google Grants, AdWords for nonprofits, an introduction to that, and using church online platform, and just being able to stay nimble, knowing that there's not just one answer on using social media and online church, but it is a constantly ongoing development for doing church and doing ministry. Just another form of extending ministry and reaching people all around, not just the city, but beyond city limits. So here, let me switch my tracks over to my conversation with Ray Lopez, the online campus pastor of City Church San Antonio.
Hey, this is DJ Chuang on a Google Plus Hangout for the Social Media Church podcast. And today I'm joined with Ray Lopez, who's at City Church in San Antonio, Texas, formerly known as Bandera Road. And we'll get the whole backstory of how they're doing church down there, particularly with their internet campus. So Ray, thank you for joining me for a conversation about social media in your church.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you for asking.
Great. So tell us about Bandera Road and how is it changing its name to City Church and the backstory behind your launching an internet campus.
Sure. City Church has been around for about 20 years here in San Antonio. We were initially founded as Bandera Road Community Church by four men, and they had a vision for doing church in a different way than they had grown up experiencing. They wanted to have a church that was targeted for people who were unchurched, and they did that very, very well. They had a great team to launch and grew very quickly in the early years. They saw exponential growth year after year after year. About 3 years ago, we really decided that we wanted to make an emphasis on who we were in terms of reaching our city. And so we made the decision to change the name to City Church. You know, there was a lot of equity built up in our previous name of Bandera Road Community Church, so it was a bit of a challenge. But we just kept really hammering the emphasis that we were reaching our city. We were here not just for our immediate community, but for the entire community of San Antonio and surrounding areas. And so we made that push, and now we're called City Church.
Great. And how does the internet campus fit into all of that? I mean, the City Church will reach the city. Internet campus kind of opens it up to the whole world.
That's true. Right around the same time that we were morphing into City Church, one of our young volunteers came up to me one weekend and he said, "Hey, I can get us on Ustream." And so we started streaming our services really on the initiation of this 19-year-old, you know, volunteer. And we saw the immediate response to that. There was an immediate audience. People were beginning to watch. And that was happening. There were several things going on at the same time. In addition to our name change, we were experimenting with Ustream. Life Church in Oklahoma was developing their church online platform. And we were also retooling our website. So all three of these things were coming together. I was fairly new on staff at that time and have a heart for social media. So all of these elements began to come together, and we realized that we could leverage all of these tools to create an online presence to reach even beyond our initial city borders, to begin to reach people all over the globe. So whereas San Antonio was our initial community, now the entire world potentially could be who we were reaching. And that's, we really got started because of a young man's experimenting with Ustream.
That's amazing. And so you're using the church online platform. What kind of elements do you use to make it an online worship experience beyond just the live stream of your worship service?
Sure. We live stream on the weekend during our services. We have four services on the weekend, 5 o'clock on Saturday, then 10, 11, 30, and one on Sunday. And we stream those currently. During the week, we take the weekend experience and we edit it. We edit the talk down. And we also include a worship song, maybe two. It's usually just one. But then we tag it on the front and back end with an intro piece that I do along with another lady on our staff. And we're kind of the on-air personalities, online personalities for City Church Online. And we set things up. We banter back and forth a little bit, set up the worship time, set up the talk, kind of give people a feel for what they can expect. There's a chat room available, those kinds of things. So we just try to, we're the online personalities, and we take the weekend and tailor it to that experience.
And what kind of response have you had in the past? How long have you been running this now? It sounds like a year, 2 years now.
Yeah, no, the online campus in its current form has not quite a year old. In April, it'll be a year. And we have seen tremendous response. We're, in fact, we just recently, last week, we had applied for and received the Google grant for nonprofits. So we have...
Hey, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. We've seen an immediate impact with that. Prior to that, we were averaging, about 600 to 650 weekly viewers. We had a budget, a monthly budget to advertise of about $100. So we were limited in what we could do in terms of our advertising. Well, the Google grant is $10,000 a month. So we're going from $100 a month to now $300 a day in advertising. We started those ads Wednesday of last week, and we saw our viewership triple in just half a week. And so this current week will be our first full week using the grant, and we're anxious to see what that's going to do. Last week we had 1,800 people from about 120 countries watching. So we're anxious.
Wow, from a little church in San Antonio reaching the world.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of guys that, we're still learning, and we're anxious to see what's going to happen.
Well, thanks for sharing some of those learnings with us. For some of our listeners, they might not be familiar with the Google grant, so how would you explain it to them?
Google has Google AdWords is a tool for creating ads based on search terms. And you kind of experiment with what terms you think would work. Well, Google also has a Google for Nonprofits grant. There's a little bit of an application process you go through. One of my volunteers, actually, I connected him with this, and then he just ran with it and really pushed hard on making that happen. And the payoff, if your application is accepted, is you get $10,000 a month worth of Google ad space. And so that's what we're using. It's a great tool, and they're very encouraging and helpful in helping you work through all the nuances of coming up with good ads, learning how to leverage that. It's a great tool and a great resource.
Yeah, tremendous. Thank you so much. And it's really a huge gift when you can win that grant from Google to get free ads for your online outreach. Right. And so as people come to watch your service, how do you move them into deeper engagement and towards what you might call membership, or what does that process look like for you?
That's actually one of the things that we're hoping to focus on this year. We spent the first year working to build up our audience. We wanted to provide a consistent experience week after week and come up with a good process to make that happen. Now that we've done that, and especially now that our viewership is going to increase quite significantly, we have some internal physical tools for people that are coming onto our campus physically to engage them in deeper channels of spiritual formation. We have a very strong recovery program that we encourage people to go through. So this year, we're going to spend time figuring out how can we translate those tools into an online atmosphere. And there's some challenges because the engagement is very different online than you have in a physical campus. So we have to think through what some of the best ways to make those tools available to people will be.
Okay, and so as things are in formation, let's think out loud for a minute. And some of the most challenging questions when it comes to doing church online are finances, membership, baptism, and communion. Mm-hmm. Have you answered any of those four questions, or you've drawn the line, or are they still all open for discussion?
Well, finances, you know, this is a new venture for us. And one of the challenges that our church faces, we're a church that runs on our physical campuses. We have three physical campuses. We have our primary one, a downtown location. We have one in the west part of San Antonio. And right now we're seeing an average attendance of a little over 6,000 people among those campuses. The challenge that we face is most churches our size are able to function or have a budget that is about three times the one that we run on. And so we have to run very lean in what we do. Online campus, not because no one thinks there's no value in it, it just, we have our physical campuses that require some immediate attention financially. So our online campus does not get the biggest piece of that pie, to put it mildly.
And so the online campus expenses are lower as well. So
right,
there are some notable differences.
Yeah, and that's true. That's absolutely true. And the challenge that we have isn't so much in the budget allocated to our online campus; it's the staff. Right now, I have three different functions in my role, only one of which has to do with online campus. One of the things that we're talking about as a first step toward engaging in areas like giving, baptisms, spiritual formation, is to position me to have more time available to devote to it so that we can come up with new tools and resources to engage with people. So the first step is going to be freeing some of my time up to give more attention to it.
Okay, so you're only wearing one of the three hats that you get to wear all week.
That's true. I also produce one of our services, and then I give some leadership to our welcome team. So you can see there are three very different roles, but the one that I have the greatest passion for is our online campus.
Great. Well, it sounds like you're pretty adept with social media for your physical campus as well. So describe how you incorporate social media for the 6,000 that attend your three locations.
Sure. Each one of our locations has their own Facebook page. We primarily use Facebook and Twitter, and each location has their own account. And we will do things like each campus kind of has their own means of leveraging social media channels to their own purposes. Our primary campus, we have a couple of our teaching pastors. I'm another one of the ones that does this. We blog regularly, and so we'll post links on our social media channels to our blogs. We will promote our weekend services through our Facebook and Twitter accounts. We'll engage with people. You know, they'll leave prayer requests, those kinds of typical things. It becomes kind of a community bulletin board to promote things that are going on. We post pictures, do all those kind of things to keep us in the forefront of people's minds. And then our downtown and west campuses do the same kinds of things, but they put their own spin on it that suits their audience's needs.
Okay, so it sounds like you've got a more contextualized, localized approach to social media for each of your locations, which is great.
And that's true.
There's no one way to use social media. Each church leadership team needs to discern and decide how to navigate that and keep the door open to making some changes from time to time, because social media is constantly developing and evolving.
I was actually having that thought this morning. I was driving in and just thinking about some things I need to do today. And it's always funny to me when someone will say, well, you're doing it wrong. Well, I don't know that there's a right or wrong way to do it. What may be right for one organization may be completely off base for another one. In so many ways, because social media is changing constantly, you have to decide what's going to work for you in this moment, and you have to keep your finger on that pulse because it will get away from you, and what was working today may not be working next month. I think that's why organizations need to decide that we need to have somebody on our team that's giving social media the attention that it needs because it's changing so quickly.
Well, how much attention do you give social media for the physical campus since you're wearing three hats already?
You know, I give it more than a third of my attention for sure. it's something that I do on a daily basis.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always checking to see what's going on, especially in our Facebook and Twitter accounts, because, you know, I think any organization, this is true of, you have to be on the front of determining what is being said about your organization. Because if you don't, someone else will set the pace for that conversation, and you don't want that to happen. So I'm always keeping an eye on what is being said, what we're saying, what other people are commenting about us. It is an ongoing challenge, an ongoing activity for me.
Okay. Because time is one of the biggest questions, is because that's one of the limited resources that we all have. We all get only 24 hours a day, and half of that probably needs to be sleeping and pacing ourselves. So just getting the handle around the time issue, much less the technology issue, is a huge question that we all have to just wrestle with.
Yeah, and everybody has to find their pace. What works for some folks, you know, for me, I can kind of be ongoing and looking at it. I have my phone with me constantly, so I'm able to kind of manage and monitor things that way. I do have to be intentional about unplugging from it because I do have a family. I've got kids, and, you know, I do want to have a life outside of what I do for my church. So I have to discipline myself to not always be there. But I can't say that there's a day that goes by when I'm not devoting some amount of time to it.
Yeah. So it sounds like your church, city church, is very outreach oriented. You're multi-site. You're reaching people beyond your city. How about the multiple question? Are you beginning to investigate, or have you already started doing that?
I lost you just for a second. Did you say the global question?
Multilingual.
Oh, multilingual.
I'm guessing you in San Antonio, you probably have a good mix of English speaking as well as Spanish speaking.
Yes.
What is your church doing to engage Spanish speaking?
Right now, the bottom line is we're not doing anything right now. That's the unfortunate answer to the question. But it is something that we are thinking about. There's a young lady on our volunteer staff for our online campus that's been very passionate about trying to figure out how can we take what we're doing now and, you know, dub services in other languages. We're trying to figure out the thing that limits us right now is just staff. I said I'm wearing three hats. That is true of probably 75% of our staff. We're all serving in multiple roles. And so we begin to get stretched a little bit. And those things that are immediate, like, you know, the old saying, the weekend comes every 7 days. There's no way to get away from that. So you have this immediate need of just putting on your weekend service. And that demands a lot of our attention. And so what we're trying to figure out is, you know, doing something to, and the Church Online platform has some built-in features that help this to a certain degree. But we're trying right now, the next thing we're trying to figure out is how could we do some sort of dubbed or closed captioned kind of service to address Spanish speakers, as well as speakers from countries where we seem to have a lot of traffic.
Well, super. Thank you so much for sharing some of your thoughts that are information as we speak there at City Church. You're doing a valuable thing for the church at large, and I'm honored to have a few minutes with you to hear what's going on in your mind and your fingertips.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ray Lopez, online campus pastor at City Church San Antonio. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for links on how you can connect with Pastor Ray, as well as links to some of the things that were mentioned. Let's see, Ustream.tv, church online platform, which is a free website platform for you to run an online campus for your church. You just have to bring the live stream or on-demand video feed. They provide everything else. And a link to the Google Grants AdWords for nonprofits so that you too can apply for this tremendously valuable program that can help extend your reach for your ministry, not just in your city, but around the world. Would love to hear from you and join the conversation here at the Social Media Church podcast. And you can send us a comment on Twitter or Facebook, but better yet, if you would come to our website at socialmediachurch.net and add a comment, it will have a much longer shelf life than the 1 or 2 hours on Twitter or 24 hours max on Facebook. I mean, the comments will still stay there, but you know, once it scrolls off the timeline, people don't respond to it, people don't see it. But when you add a comment on our blog, our website, people will see that for weeks and months ahead. And if you are on iTunes, I know from our stats, many of you are listening in on, through iTunes. Please rate us and add a review there. There's only a couple there now, so when you add one, it will be at the top of the list and other people will see your comment. Honest feedback, much appreciated. And you can even call in and add your voice to the conversation right here on a future episode of the podcast by calling our voicemail number, which is 9493-543-216. So you can add a question, add a comment, a story of how you are using social media in your church. And if you want to send a zinger, go right ahead. If I don't have the answer, maybe someone in our listening audience will. Our download count continues to rise. We just surpassed the 6,200 downloads just this past week. So thank you for those of you that are subscribers and consistent listeners, and the several of you that are regular send out regular tweets. Much appreciate the love that you are sending out on social media for us. Really sense a little bit of a community here that's building. I know the listenership is there. We'll certainly love to see more conversations happening beyond just this weekly podcast episode. So take your pick. Love to connect you any way that you can and I can. And we have so many technology choices. One of the things I've realized during this past month in particular, as I've been creating a daily video update about my new work with Ambassador Network as a strategy consultant, I've been just raising the awareness for our need for launching this church planting network and my role as a strategist to resource and train and to coach new church planters, that this technology thing, while we have a lot of options, the reliability has not been there for me. Partly because I don't have state-of-the-art equipment, but also just relying on the internet is not quite reliable yet. I don't have a studio. I don't have a T1 or T3 line. So I make do with what I can get access to, whether that's a Wi-Fi connection at Starbucks or my cable internet here at home. I'm on the move, kind of road warrior-ish, moving around, and just sometimes do not get a good connection. And I just realized on my day 24 video over at YouTube, the last 2 minutes of that video didn't even record the audio. And that's my old Android phone, HTC Inspire, that didn't come through for me. So that was a little bummer. I'll have to re-record my thoughts on that. Anyway, just some ramblings as I'm winding down this episode. Thank you again for being a part of our community here at the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang. Connect with us through our website, which has all the links to our social media presence. The website address is socialmediachurch.net. Share this with a friend. Subscribe. You know what to do with the rest of that. I'll turn up the music, sign off for now, and until next time, we will stay connected.